is Advent. We're preparing for Christmas, and these four candles represent four sermons. They represent 4 weeks, and the traditional explanation of what these candles stand for is hope, preparation, joy, and love. Hope, remember, we're talking about how really deeply disturbing is the opposite of that hopelessness, and how hope is something we almost physically need as a human being, the power of hope as we look forward to the coming of the Christ child. And remember Jake's sermon about preparation and how he talked about John the Baptist, how that was the beginning, the preparation of the ministry of Jesus and what that meant. And last week, Pastor Chris talked about joy. Remember that just last week? Great sermon. Thank you. And, you know, it was powerful because, you know, you had this haircut and you were telling us, looks better now though, right? Yeah, maybe that's it, right? And it's a powerful thing, you know, especially when, you know, pastors are personal and open like that. It's a powerful thing to think, yeah, that's right. There are times when I don't feel joy either. But if we think about how we are empowered by what God gives us, that really helps us to think about that differently. So these are all messages leading up to Christmas this weekend. This sermon is about love, and that's like crazy. So I'm going to talk for 18 minutes now about love. What would you say about that? Yeah, good luck. Well, I have a very specific thing in mind, and to be honest, I don't really know how these thoughts come. I would like to think that they're from the Holy Spirit. My theme is not just sweet, but powerful. So I'm intending to make connections in your life between all those ways that you think about love now and contrast that with the incredibly different and powerful way that we are loved by God. So just as an introduction to that, just as a kind of laying the land, you know, you've heard of this three Greek words for love, eros, phileo, and agape. So eros is erotic, passionate, give me now kind of love, and phileo means friendship, a brotherly love, as in Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. And agape, there's no agape word, but agape means that kind of selfless love, the kind of love that God had for us. So if you think of love globally, we think, okay, you know, erotic and friendship and selfless. That's pretty good, right? Greeks thought about that hundreds of years ago, and it's a good way to think about love. So I'm contrasting that with just the sermon this morning, because in my sermons, I want you to have, in this brief moment that we're explaining God's word, I want you to have something you can take with you, something that connects in your life. So I'm connecting you now. I'm asking you to think about how you today, right now, think about that word love. So if I say love, what comes to your mind? Just for the fun of it, any feedback? Just say out something.
Marriage.
There you go. Any other?
Family.
Love family. Yeah. Pardon?
Jesus.
Yeah, that's good.
You,
God, you got children, grandchildren. There's wonderful things. Thank you.
Hugs and kisses.
Love, yeah. Love is a great word, is it not? Somebody last night said, my wife. Okay, that was pretty smart, right? Yeah, that's right. So to dig a little deeper, when I think about love, I think about the way, you know, movies and TV shows, and, you know, that's how we get this. My wife, Kathy, loves to watch Hallmark movies, like, all the time. We have DVR. There's tons of Hallmark movies on them. And I confess, I will like them as well. I would like a good chick flick once in a while. And the thing about Hallmark movies is they pretty much all have the same plot. You ever notice that? There's this young girl, and she has this guy she doesn't really like, and then the right guy comes along. And do you have a favorite movie? Yeah, any movies do you like that are about love? Anything like that? Think of anything? Probably not Star Wars, although I haven't seen that. But so my point is, you know, we are fed sort of by what we see. Movies, TV shows, how we think about that. And all of those things, all of those ways are good and wholesome. Think about the love we have for each other, the love for a newborn baby. Everything you can possibly think of right now about love is good. But all of those ways we think about love are limited by our human limitations. We can only love to a certain extent, right? So now, as long as we're talking about love, I hope to connect you to some other ways of thinking about this, because one of our texts this morning talks about that in powerful ways. John 15. What is the primary command? That we love each other. It's like the most important commandment. It's a powerful thing. And it continues, greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Wow. Hey, after you do that, there's nothing more else you can give. You're dead. You know, that's what God did for us through Jesus Christ. Do you understand? It's kind of the point of my sermon right now. Here's the kernel. There's love, and then there's love. God's love for us, who loved us so much that he sacrificed his most precious thing, his son, to become a human being, to be born on Christmas, grow up, suffer, die on the cross. Not just die, but really painful, extended for a long time, publicly humiliating death on a cross. Not just any death, a really long, painful death. And so that symbol of humiliation, designed by the Romans to make sure everybody knew, symbol of exact humiliation, became for Christians a symbol of victory, the actual opposite of the original intent, because it represents our salvation. So there's love, and then there's love. There's not just sweet love, but powerful love. And that love is demonstrated for us at different times in life. So I'm going to talk a little bit about three examples and then make an application to this church here. Three examples I have in mind are, at one point in my life, I worked at a nursing home. It was Foss Home in North Seattle, a Lutheran nursing home. I was there for 6 years as foundation director. And then at World, I learned that your life can go from a house to a two-bedroom apartment, to a room, to half a room. If you live long enough, you'll get older. Why am I telling you this? Because I have seen in that world people who have God's love and are able to share it. I'm telling you, it's surprising. It's really something, if you're paying attention, to notice that there are people who have something to give because they got something from God. Right? Have you seen that? Most people, even younger, just only can think of their needs. But there are people who will pray for others, who will ask questions, who will minister to, who will help. So for very old people who are Christian, they have the ability to share God's love there in that world. Another experience I had in the 70s and 80s, I worked at Luther Child Center in Everett. And that's a was a residential care facility, used to be Parkland Children's Home. I was there 11 years as a director of development. In that world of caring for children, that was a time in the history of America when we discovered why it was that so many kids were running away from home. And their answer is because they were abused. And you keep secrets and you don't talk about that. So my point is, if you're in middle school or high school, you guys are a little older than that, but for some young people, growing up is just really hard. We cannot imagine how painful a young life can be. How painful. And at other churches in here, I've seen resources that young people have to know that there's fellowship and a love from God. So sometimes You have young people in so much pain, they just have to leave home. And in that circumstance, I'm talking about really old, really young at beginning of life, it's a powerful thing to know that you're loved. It's a powerful thing to know that you're loved. And sometimes you find that people in a church group have a resource, have something to give because they received something. If you know you are loved, you have that to give. And it's a tough world at that age. There's mean girls or mean guys is a real thing. And the reason is everybody else is just as insecure or more than you are. It's tough. So in very specific times in life, old, young, and in between. My third example is that story of the prodigal son. And it's powerful because that prodigal son is you and me. That's us. We're that stupid kid who runs away from home, spends all the parents' inheritance, blows it, and then hopes that they can come back. That's us. And God loves us so much. This is a story about God and us. And the son was just hoping maybe he could get a gig as the servant so he could have bread instead of pig food. And the father says, no, I'm not having it. He sees him. He runs to him. He goes, hey, bring me a ring. Bring me a robe. We're going to have a celebration. Gives him a kiss. Overwhelming response. And that story is in the Bible so you and I will understand how God feels toward us. That's how God feels toward you. God is waiting for you to come back because he loves you so much. He can't wait to run up to you and give you a big hug and kiss and welcome you back because he loves you. The power of God's love in my life, in your life, it's powerful. And here's another thing. We'll experience that more if we think that we need it. If you look around in the world, I'm a fan of politics, and so I watch this on TV. In the political world, in the business world, just about pretty much nobody ever says they're sorry. Why? Because nobody ever thinks they do anything wrong. When politicians or others say things that are mean, they tend to just double down. The idea of I might have done something wrong, I'm sorry, is so shockingly, incredibly absent. It makes it all the more powerful for us Christians to know and understand. So in the world, this is what passes for an apology. I'm sorry you were offended. That's not an apology. That's a put down. Well, I'm sorry you're so sensitive you couldn't understand. No, it's not an apology. See what I mean? That's what people do. Oh, I'm sorry you were offended. Shut up. Just say you were wrong. And, you know, I've done things that are wrong and really stupid and embarrassing. When I think about it, I think, could I have possibly been that stupid? And the answer is evidently yes. But it hurts. It's a shocking thing when you realize that you've done something wrong and stupid. So that's the person God can reach. That's what our message is today, that you and I in this sermon time, of all the things you can get, you walk away with some understanding of how powerful is the love of God for you. And now I'm going to talk just a little bit more about our church. This is interesting to me. I want to share it. I believe it's a good sermon message. And there's something I'm just seeing in our congregation here that I think is interesting. I have four new words for St. Luke's. God's love delivery system. And why do I think that? Well, I'm thinking about two things we just did and then one thing we're about to do, and they all have this in common. Do you remember this fall when we're sitting here and we had a spiritual gift survey? We're sitting in the pew and we have something in our hands. And thanks to our staff, Jan and others, we designed a spiritual gift survey that you could do in about 5 to 7 minutes and you would know what your spiritual gifts were. But what happened in that moment is something in your hands. You didn't even have to come up and come forward for communion. You were sitting in your pew in your hands. Something went from your hands to your heart. Something went from your hands, a piece of paper, to your heart. Now you know what your spiritual gifts are. It's really something. You don't even have to move. You're sitting there. Then we had a stewardship effort, and there will be a report on that a little bit later after the. Here's what happened in that stewardship thing. Again, sitting in the pew, piece of paper, a response card, and something went from your hand to your heart. Now, I'm going to tell you, we have increased giving, and you have to think, we have that because we ask you to talk to God, and this is what God told you. Could God have told you to give the same amount or less? Yes, yes. Doesn't have to be more, doesn't have to be more money. But we now have about 200 families in our congregation. That's about what our attendance is, 200 families giving close to $1 million. And that was a 38% increase from what that same source was last year. 38%, about roughly 270,000 more. Now, as I said, it doesn't mean it has to be more if it's a spiritual question, but I'm pretty sure God wants us to be all no matter what. I'm pretty sure God wants us to be closer to Him. And that feels like closer to Him to me. It's a really impressive response from willing hearts because you're sitting in the pew with a piece of paper. And the reason I mention that is Pastor Chris and Jan and I are talking now about a small groups emphasis after the first of the year. So what's going to happen there? Again, there will be a moment where you'll be sitting in your pew with a piece of paper. And the question is, would you like to join a small group or can we connect with you in some way? So again, one more time for a third time now, something's going to come from your hands to your heart. And as a result, I'm noticing, to me, I've never thought of this before, this church is a God's love delivery system, because there are moments in our family here where you will be sitting in a worship service and something will be in your hands and it will go from your hands to your heart to your life, and your life will be changed. Your life is changed if you know what your spiritual gifts are. If you rethink in a godly way your financial support, your life will change. Those are good things. If you join a small group or in some way be better connected, this is how in our family God's love is coming into your life. This church, I take no credit for it. I'm still the outsider, kind of. This church for you is God's love delivery system. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to deliver God's love into your life. So that's my message for Sunday in Advent: hope, preparation, joy, and love. What's the thing about love? Remember, love is powerful in your life, especially if you understand how different it is from this Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays thing. If it's not that, it's a powerful, eternal, life-saving, life-changing gift from God to you this Christmas. God's love. It's my prayer for each of us that we receive it, that we understand what a big deal it is, that we don't take it for granted, or our fellowship here. My prayer for you is you receive this Christmas the possibly most precious gift of all, the love of God through Jesus Christ. May God grant that in Jesus' name.